Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Award-winning author, renowned speaker, PhD therapist, and mood adjuster extraordinaire, welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show.
I'm Dr. Sandy Brewer, and we're so happy that you're here with us today on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in and spending some of your really valuable time with us. We're delighted to have you. Our show, as you may know, is about getting to the heart of what matters in your life. We're a call-in talk radio show, so help us get the conversation started by giving us a call. That would be a good thing. 800-930-2819. Or you can go to transformationtalkradio.com and ask a question in the instant feedback box. I can talk. And we'll be happy to do everything we can to answer that while we're on the air. I've been a counselor with a thriving practice for over 35 years. So trust me, you're in really good, safe hands when you call. There's not a Dr. Laura in sight. So we're user-friendly. Our mics are always open for you. No question or subject is off limits. 800-930-2819. And because life is about giving and receiving, we have a gift for you today. The first two callers with honor questions will get an autographed copy of my book, Pursuit of Light. And right before, like 10 seconds before we started today, I got a Valentine's gift, and it was in the form of an email of someone who had just read Pursuit of Light. And she's from California. What she said is that for Pursuit of Light is one of the most inspirational books I've ever read. Marion, my dear, thank you. That was really sweet. We have a wonderful guest here today, my good friend, Emmy-winning a lyricist and all-around extraordinary woman, Mary Beth Derry. Hi, Mary Beth. How
Hi,
are you?
Hi, Sandy. And I totally second the emotion of your California reader, because I think Pursuit of Light for me was completely transformational and changed my life. I recommend everybody read it. It's wonderful.
Honey, thank you.
I don't just say that because I'm your friend.
Good. It's good to hear. It actually is. We won three literary awards, and one of the parts of feedback that we get all the time is I couldn't put it down. So that's very, very gratifying. And
totally
happy Valentine's Day, my dear.
Thanks, Sandy. Same to you.
Thank you. And, you know, when people learned on both on my mailing list and in my practice that I was going to do a show actually on Valentine's Day, we got several oh goodies and romance and candy and flowers. But then I also got some feedback that said, hey, wait a minute. What about those of us where it isn't so good? Yeah, do you know where we're having some struggles, where Cupid's
right.
arrow wasn't a friendly little feather, it was like a thrust in my heart or gut. What do we do with that? How do we handle those stinging arrows that can look in relationship like verbal abuse or physical abuse? By the way, for physical abuse, I have a zero tolerance policy, so that's not negotiable in any way. But verbal abuse, bullying, manipulation, and what is for many the big kahuna, which is infidelity. When that happens, they said, would you be willing to, even on Valentine's Day, or maybe because it's Valentine's Day, spend a few minutes talking about what do you do? And so I thought we'd start with what my feedback says is the big kahuna of hard things to handle, which is infidelity. And one of the things that I want to share is that whether we're the stabber or the stabbee, that there's always some wisdom to be garnered from any situation. It doesn't mean to pretend, oh, goody, I have another life lesson, but to be able to say, whatever it is I have to deal with, I will go through my journey of working through the emotions, because the heart of the matter, which is what we're all about, is that there is a goodness, a greatness, a potential for good, so much stronger, so much purer than any circumstance we may find ourselves in. And that when we reach for that light, when we hold that as our ultimate and bottom line intent, that we have established the connection that will draw us through the darkness into a light that is transformational. So there we have it. Let's start with infidelity. Why not just jump into the deep end of the pool? One of the things that I know I know as a therapist for so long about many things on the subject, but one of the things that's really hard, because infidelity, like many other things, is a major betrayal, or experienced as a major, major betrayal. And so if people decide that they want to stay and work it through, it's really, really, really hard to not hold the offending party hostage, you know, to keep right. Just turn the screw, and 10 years later, we're still holding on to it and turning the screw. If you do that, then that's not a fair way to decide to stay in the relationship. And I remember, MB, I never got into Sex in the City that much, but I think you watched it a little more than I did. There was an episode that they had there between Miranda and Steve, and I loved the way they wrote that. I thought the author or the writer who wrote that was like a therapist in waiting. She or he did such a good job putting it together. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah, and you know what, Sandy, I was thinking about that episode not long ago, because my favorite episode of Sex and the City, and I remember sitting crying when I saw it, because the characters of Miranda and Steve are young married couple, and they're struggling with a baby and, you know, paying bills and all. And he cheats on her, and he comes in and confesses just out of the blue, just says, I can't live with myself. What have you done? He tells her. And she immediately leaves him, and she's angry, and she's divorcing it. You know, she's separating. The marriage is over. And they decide to go to counseling to give it one last shot. But anyway, in the course of it, it ends up being that the counselor says at the last session, he says, how do I know she won't punish me the rest of my life? And the therapist says, you don't. And she says, how do I know he won't do it again? And she says, you don't. But the point is this, if you're willing to take a leap of faith, set a time and a place, and in their case, it was the Brooklyn Bridge at like 3:00 on a Tuesday afternoon. And if you go to this bridge to meet, then it's all behind you and you never bring it up again. And if one of you can't, then don't be there at the meeting place. And it was the most beautiful thing because, of course, they both saw each other on the bridge and came running and, you know, the music playing. And I just thought it was such a beautiful moment.
It is a beautiful moment. And I think one of the most important parts about it, besides we have to genuinely let it go, that doesn't mean to not set boundaries or to work through that level of what certainly is experienced as betrayal, but to also, people want guarantees, and so that's why they keep hammering it a year later, two years later.
And that's why they can't let it go, right, Sandy? Because they think if I let it go, then it will happen again.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm asking.
Well, yes, you're right. So they think that but it's actually a little bit in reverse. They think that if I hold on tighter and keep that grip tighter, I can guarantee something. But we all know when we really back away from emotional fear, that we can't guarantee anything. All that we can guarantee and be in charge of is the focus of our mind and our intention for our lives and the way that we respond to any given situation. So one of the hard things to remember is if you have dealt with or are dealing with a difficult subject in your life, on this, especially on this day of hearts and flowers called infidelity, if you are dealing with that and deciding that there's enough in your relationship worth exploration and discovery to see what you can create now, enough in it so that you can do that, you have to then look and decide that the person you're going to learn to trust is yourself. Because if your safety is based on the other person will never betray you, it's based on what the other person does. If that's what your safety is based on, then you're always going to need to try to control or manipulate that person in order to stay safe. And it just doesn't work. How do we know if our partner is going to never do this again? Well, we don't. We can trust his or her word, but we don't know for sure. What we have to trust is that somehow, some way, I am getting stronger inside of me, and it's okay for me to have a boundary. And at the same time, I'm going to trust that if I have to deal with something difficult, that I can trust my ability to respond to hard times and still be whole. So I'm into the, I'm going to tell you a story. When my husband and I, who I adore all these years later, when we first got together and we were moving clearly toward marriage, he's the sweetest guy, and he said to me one day, you know, Sandy, if something ever happened and you kind of strayed or whatever word he used, he said, that would be really, really hard on me, but I would try really so hard to forgive you, and we would still try to work it out. And I looked at him and I said, John, that is just so nice and so kind of you. And it's important that I let you know that if you ever stray, I'll break both of your legs. So
it's right. Like, I do not feel the same.
Now, I have mellowed, folks, since then. But that idea of having an agreement that we choose to keep, an agreement that we strive to keep, an understanding that if we don't keep those agreements, it's because there's a fear going on inside of us. And in order to not repeat it again, we're both going to have to get both partners are going to have to get that place where you're facing your own inner fear, inside fear. When you're facing that inside fear, and from that place of greater self-awareness, that we bring ourselves to this new foundation, stronger foundation, create a bridge from fear into the possibilities of what, where we do have common denominators, what we can build. So we're going to take a little break right now. You're listening to the Sandy Brewer Show. Stay tuned. It's going to be a great afternoon. Thanks.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Quantum Techniques Talk Radio. Bring healing to chaos. This hit show will empower you to take charge of your own healing and take back your life. You'll be reminded of your innate connection to the divine through the teachings of world-renowned healing practitioners who'll provide the tools necessary to discover how to heal yourself and others. Did you know you can even prevent disease? Absolutely. Get ready to invoke the miracle of self-healing physical or non-physical causes of stress, pain, and illness. Discover toxins, pathogens, structural issues, trauma, emotions, relationships, generational issues, spiritual problems, and wrong beliefs blocking you from living a phenomenal life. Break free from the chaos and take charge of your own healing. Visit quantumtechniques.com for more information. Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Tune in to The Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been-there, done-that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for The Sandy Brewer Show.
Hi, this is Sandy Brewer. Welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Don't forget, today we have special gifts. My book, autographed copy of Pursuit of Light, for the first two callers with on-air questions. So give us a call. It's easy. It's fun. It's 800-930-2819. We're getting to the heart of what matters in your life. We have a caller, Aggie from Brooklyn. Hi, Aggie.
Hi, Sandy.
How are you doing? Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. I'm doing okay, thank you. I'm calling with regard to relationship. I have a question.
Okay.
I've read a lot of self-help books. I think I've done a lot of work on myself. You know, I've read The Buddhist. I've read Pema Chodron. I've read Eckhart Tolle. I've read Tony Robbins, and I also have to say I did read your book, and I really did enjoy it. I felt it was different than the other books because I felt like it was a life story, and to endure so much abuse and torture and come out the other side, it gives me hope for my small problems. But anyway, so having read all of these books, I feel like when it comes to relationship, I just can't get it right. I keep picking the same guy, and okay. I don't understand why.
What do you think your Achilles heel is in relationship, Aggie? What do you keep repicking?
Well, I end up feeling disappointment and feeling like I'm not being matched in a place of, like, you know, compassion and thoughtfulness. And
yeah, but honey, forgive me for interrupting you, but the bottom line is, I don't disagree with what you're saying, that you're probably not being matched and maybe you're not getting the compassion and support that you want, but babe, you're the one who's picking them, so why do you pick them?
I don't know. It all seems good in the beginning. You know, the first couple of months, everything goes, seems to be moving along, and then it just kind of deteriorates, and I don't know why I'm picking them.
Okay, so where do you say you start, and this is really good because it applies to so many people who get confused on this. It starts out and it's all honeymoon and treehouse and everything is beautiful, and I get that, and that's a wonderful part of relationship. But there's some place before you get past that first 3 months or so, that's a little arbitrary timing, but that first initial part, there's some place, my dear, where you start to make a trade. What do you think that trade might be? Do you understand what I'm saying by trade?
No.
In other words, the trade is, from my point of view, that you get needy, that somehow you get an attachment. You start out, oh, this is interesting, and I'm in my strength as a woman, and I'm going to go for the gold, and I know what I want, and all of those things. But then somehow you go from that strength to to that neediness. I've seen that a gazillion times through the years in my work and in my life. So teaching ourselves how to get past that point of, yes, this is a relationship, but I am not dependent on that relationship for my well-being, for my comfort, for my validation. I'm not dependent. So here's what, especially for us as women, that we're kind of trained into being a little bit more codependent when it comes to our counterpart, that we need that man. And so then when you need the other person, then we've taken the relationship out of a woman who knows herself and a man who knows himself, and it's devolving into a place where it's based on basically what we call codependency, which means I need the other person. I need the reflection of the other person, the action of the other person to validate me, to make this a totally validated, to make me valuable and validated. But when I want somebody else to do something for me that I have to learn to do for myself, what happens is there is no satiation point. I can never get fully sated. The other person could never give me what I need to do for me. And then if I will know that I'm okay, that I don't need, that I won't engage relationship from the point of view of need, but the point of view of share, of being equal, then if I can't do that, then I'm a little bit screwed. Do you understand that? How do you feel about what I'm saying to you?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think that I get in and I think that I do get a bit. I think I get needy, even though I feel so strong in so many places in my life and my career and everything. Mm-hmm. But in this place, I definitely feel like I'm unsure and I'm on really shaky ground, and maybe I get codependent. And instead of walking away and going, this isn't right, I keep trying. I feel like I'm trying to push the boulder uphill, you know, instead of going.
The boulder uphill that I think you're trying to push up, Aggie, is that you started out just accepting the person you were with and accepting yourself, and then you started trying to create him in your image of what you wanted him to be. And when it layered down and he wasn't quite the image how you wanted him to be, you didn't, you know, it's so easy to not accept the person as they are. If we're codependent, we will keep pushing. We will keep trying to remold the other person into our image of them so that they can do for us what actually, my dear, we need to do for ourselves. That's Henley has that great song, which is part of our tagline on the heart of the matter. Getting to the heart of the matter. But in this song, there's a line that I love when he talks about his relationship kind of folding, and he says, "And the struggles we went through, and how I lost me, and you lost you." And that's what I'm hearing in what you're saying, that I start out real strong and I start out being me, and then somehow I start losing that focus of who I am and need to see myself through the other person's eyes, but they're busy with their own, for lack of a better word in the moment, neuroses. And so they're doing their thing, I'm doing my thing, and we've forgotten. You lost what you came in with, which would be Aggie. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? I mean, it's a mouthful I'm giving you. It's a lot to chew on all at once.
Well, I think it's easier said than done. I think it makes sense, and I think I gotta really be aware of when I'm doing that. You know, when I get in that place, I gotta try to figure it out when it happens. Because sometimes, that all of a sudden I'm in this disappointment feeling and frustration and anger and hurt, and I don't know how I got there. Like, I don't know why I'm there.
Okay, so
it
when you
so
get
fast.
Exactly, because the chemistry in the brain, when the way the brain works is that it's always like a computer on a spell check mission. It's always, and it picks up things by frequencies. So it's always checking to see, do I have any information about this frequency. And where the brain stores that information is the equivalent of a holographic file. And a hologram, by definition, is the whole or entirety in every piece. So it can't just, when it picks up that uh-oh feeling, you don't like, uh-oh, I need something here, uh-oh, he's not responding the way I want him to, it says, do I have any information about when somebody I trust doesn't respond in the way that I want it to? And let's say you grew up in a house that was, the kindest word is dysfunctional. So if you grew up in a dysfunctional house where there wasn't a lot of personal attention, where parents were into their own stuff, hadn't resolved their own internal problems, so they couldn't relate. And your brain says, do I have any information about someone who ignores me or someone who doesn't support me after the blush of the first romance is over? And if you come from a place where there was any major challenge or repetitive challenges, and the repetitive is the big thing, that it just keeps going on, it can be subsurface but you feel unsupported, then the brain goes, yeah, I have information, but it cannot just bring up the information, a little section of the information. It brings up the whole darn file, that was my error, and you bring that file into the now. So you think you're upset because the guy you're with right now isn't doing X for you, but what you've really done, like a mind meld with, is that part of you that still has a circuitry, inner circuitry connection with what the child concluded because she didn't get much attention or much support. And what the child would concluded is, I'm not enough. So all of a sudden, instead of you going in as the strong, capable woman that you are in most areas, you're suddenly operating from the point of view of, I'm not enough. And how do you want to fix that? You want to fix that by having the person that you're with reflect, oh, yes, you are. The problem is that nobody outside of you can do what you need to do for yourself. We don't have to change the past in order to change, write a new ending to an old story. We have to change our point of view about what the past meant. When we were 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it meant one thing. Now we can reframe it so it means another. Aggie, if you have time, we have to take a break, but can you hold on and we'll finish this as soon as we come back?
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. You're listening to The Sandy Brewer Show. Give us a call. It's 800-930-2819. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Tune in to The Sean and Jen Show, Soul Path Insights Radio, each Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with Sean and Jen will have you saying yes to as much abundance as you desire. Imagine a happier soul, radiating energy in all areas of your life. Get ready to understand the meaning and the message in your life. Shift obstacles to opulence. Experience powerful, intuitive coaching, live readings, and transformative tools as Sean and Jen dare you to live your best life.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusedGeneration.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show. Check out Blue Heron Wisdom Radio with Laura Longley on TTRNetwork.com.
Tune in to The Michelle Bond Show. Awaken to a new reality. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. This call-in show with Vedic astrologer, expert, and holistic health practitioner, Michelle Bond, will give you insight to a wide range of topics. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information and restores your health and well-being through learning the latest complementary and alternative medicine modalities. Visit themichellebondshow.com.
As anyone who has experienced cancer knows, it's a tough journey. If your loved ones are dealing with cancer, please give yourself the gift of learning about the leading-edge information and support programs offered by Vital Options, a nonprofit cancer communications organization that provides extensive information to support patients and families to better understand treatment options as well as other issues that impact anyone touched by cancer. We urge you to take advantage of this valuable resource by going to vitaloptions.org.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little
Hi, welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're talking with Aggie from Brooklyn. And Aggie, just as you heard the music come on, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. How do you feel about what we've said so far when we've been saying that, yeah, we start out a relationship high and doing well, and then all of a sudden, after a few months, it seems to start collapsing and it gets needier and we start to bicker, and then to understand what's the mirror back to ourselves? What place, how did I get into this, and suddenly where am I starting to lose me? Not that we always want to ask the question, what is that goofus across from me doing wrong? And while you may have a point, that's not the point that's going to change your reality. Understanding what I'm reflecting about me, whether what he's doing makes me feel insecure, makes me feel unworthy, and that there's an originating place inside of me, and what I need to do is be able to change my mind about that originating idea that something about me isn't perfect in its wholeness, in its goodness, in its value. How do you feel about what we've been saying, Aggie?
No, it makes some sense. Do I have time to give you an example of something?
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
So I dated this guy. He lived with me for like 4 years, and it was really tough. It was a tough go. I hung on too long, in part because I have a young daughter and she was very attached. But basically, he was a financial wreck, and I was paying for everything. And that was, I became very resentful. And so I finally ended it and have moved on, and months passed and I've started dating someone else. And this man is wealthy, yet he seems to be afraid to spend money, and I find that it's ironic that I'm with someone now who has money, but is afraid to spend it, and somehow I'm winding up in the same place again.
Okay, honey, what do you think that, you know, based on this idea that there's a mirror here, so what do you think, and certainly we have a common denominator in the subject, what do you think money and people either having it or using it to be supportive of you, what does that represent to you?
I think I have my own money issues. I'm not
you
sure.
Think?
And maybe, yeah, I think. I think I do, and I think that's part of it. You know, like, and now I've drawn in somebody who's, you know, got, you know, money issues, even though he's got lots of money. But it's just so odd that, you know, I went from one to the other, but they're kind of the same thing, you know?
Yeah, let me ask you something. Where are you, let's take the men out of the picture, where are you on the subject of money? As in your money?
Well, I'm struggling right now. Things are very tough. And so,
were you always struggling?
No. I've made a lot of money in my life, and then you know, the stock market crash, and then work became more scarce, and it's been difficult, you know.
Okay.
And my daughter's father is struggling.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. You said you made a lot of money at one time, right?
Right.
And then when you were no longer able to make a lot of money, how did that impact how you feel about yourself or judge yourself?
It was hard. I felt ashamed. I felt ashamed. I got fired, and it was very hard. It was very hard for me.
Did you feel it was your fault that you got
fired?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it was a long time ago. If you're still carrying an open wound on that subject, a place where you're, where there's some logjam inside of you on that subject, did you feel it was your fault that you got fired?
I didn't at first, but then as time went on and I was able to really reflect, I realized it was. I screwed up.
Let me offer you a suggestion, okay? And you can adopt it or not adopt it, but it might be worth really considering. What if, because you're well-spoken, you come off, you know, strong and pretty self-aware, actually. So what if how you lose yourself in relationship is actually connected to when you had money and you were completely, I assume when you make a lot of money, you're, especially in New York, you're doing quite nicely, so that you're your own person. You know, you can wheel and deal and do your thing, and you have a lot of autonomy and independence. But what if when you lost that the judgment on you, your judgment on you was so great, and the echo of judgment on you remains. What if that echo of where you're judging you keep playing out in needing somebody else to support you? When you were making lots of money, did anybody support you?
No, but wow, that really just made a light bulb go off for me.
Yeah. Because when you were making a lot of money, did you care that nobody else was supporting you?
No, and actually, the guys that I dated then were, like, really great guys. I wasn't ready to settle down at the time, but they were really great guys.
So do you see what I'm talking about with the mirror? If we have echoes of self-judgment, and my intuitive feeling, that's how I would get this, is that that's where this is coming from. That you may have worked through some of the awareness of what happened and even some of the judgment on it. But from my point of view, intuitively, I absolutely feel that you have a place where that old circuitry of judging yourself is still there, and therefore you feel inadequate to the task, and so you'll pick up someone who is, as in your former live-in boyfriend, inadequate to the task of taking care of you, and a current boyfriend, wealthy but tight. Do you understand? So if you can learn forgiveness, and remember, forgiveness has nothing to do with agreement, my dear. Forgiveness is about being willing to make room for the traveler to take a place that has been dark and understand that you can unfold it into its wisdom, find the potential of its greater truth, and build a new bridge to bring yourself back into, I can and I will and I am so worth my own effort. Nothing needs to stand between you and your good. From what I'm picking up, what's standing between you and your true good right now, honey, is this idea that I blew it and I haven't forgiven myself, instead of understanding that that complete power outage, sorry for everybody back east, that complete power outage really might have been the very thing that ultimately will tumble you forward into a new day, a new reality, a new peace, a new joy, and keep your focus, a new partner. What do you think?
Wow, yeah, that really made sense. Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome, honey. I'm glad you stayed with it till we could get actually to what the heart of the matter is for you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. You take care. And today now, have a happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks, my dear. Take good care. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. You're listening to The Sandy Brewer Show. You know, you don't have to be in a crisis in order to call. We're here to get to the heart of what matters in your life, to be supportive of what's going on for you. Give us a call, 800-930-2819. Mary Beth, what do you think?
I really related, Sandy, to what you said to your caller about forgiving ourselves where we, you know, where we blew it, and this thing of how we have these places of we need to forgive. And then that sort of led me back around to this, to what you were talking about in the beginning of the show of infidelity and these kind of problems. And I was thinking, you know, do you think that forgiveness, like let's take the case of infidelity, does forgiveness involve like confessing to the other person? Is that what it takes to forgive yourself? I mean, just in that situation, do you think it's good if you have done something like that in a marriage or a relationship to confess it?
Well, I'm a little bit of the point of view that confession is good for the soul, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily good for the relationship. So mm-hmm. I do believe in honesty, and I do believe that it's important to move ourselves into a place of honesty, but I'm very strong about internal to external, that if I confess something wanting you to do for me what I need to do for me, then I haven't helped either one of us. So right. I'm very strong on go inside and find a way to understand where you are, to forgive yourself, and to understand what caused the behavior. Because mm-hmm. for the most part, infidelity is obviously a behavioral issue, but there's an underlying factor. What is it that keeps the whoever is the aggressor in that from being able to say, I don't want to be honest. I'm going to lie. I'm going to, it isn't about that you are drawn to somebody else, but if you have an agreement of fidelity with somebody, what's going on with you that makes you not want to follow that? So I do think that ultimately it's going to be a personal choice whether or not somebody wants to share, but I think the more primary and more important aspect of that is that we are very, very, very clear on the bottom line is, how do I take personal responsibility? How do I change my point of view about old emotions and become one with greater integrity, more integrated with myself, so that I can stay true and not have to do things that are duplicitous? It's just so really about getting to the heart of the matter within ourselves. We have to take a little break, MB, but we will come back, and then I'd love to hear whatever your follow-up question is.
All right.
Okay. You are listening to The Sandy Brewer Show. Stay with us, because we're going to be right back.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Tune in each Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Awakening Radio with Patricia. This hit show awakens your dormant, divine, feminine energy. The Awakening Show is the next step on your evolutionary journey through life. Get ready to awaken the dormant seedings within you, your soul's encodement, power, and purpose, and bring this forward with confidence and clarity through the power of your own voice. This show promises to boldly go where you've been before. You just need to remember. Be inspired. Become rewired with The Awakening Radio. Visit awakeningradio.com for weekly topics.
Tune in to The Sean and Jen Show, Soul Path Insights Radio, each Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with Sean and Jen will have you saying yes to as much abundance as you desire. Imagine a happier soul, radiating energy in all areas of your life. Get ready to understand the meaning and the message in your life. Shift obstacles to opulence. Experience powerful, intuitive coaching, live readings, and transformative tools as Sean and Jen dare you to live your best life.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Would you welcome an inspiring, positive, and uplifting message coming to you each week? Messages that will energize and support you as you go about your day? I do, and I hope you will too. Act today and bring a smile to your face and a lift in your step as you receive your free inspirational thought for the week. Simply ask for them by going to sandybrewer.com. Hey, and while you're there, learn more about Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. Be inspired and pass it on as you get your free thought for the week at sandybrewer.com.
Hi, welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We have Christine from San Francisco on the line. Hi, Christine. Well, we had Christine on the line. I think I'll see if they can get her back. I'm sorry we don't have that call right now, but we have Mary Beth. Hi, MB.
Hi, Sandy. I will just pick up where I left off.
Okay.
Because I was wanting to ask you, then do you mean, you know, we were talking about you don't have to confess everything to really forgive yourself. And so, like, in all the little things, you're saying, like, and I'm not just talking infidelity, but if you work through your own behavior and you work on yourself and you come to understand your behavior and you have feel like you've gotten it together and you have, you know, for lack of a better analogy, maybe shined a light on mm-hmm. the dark corners of yourself that you're doing these things, then that's enough to move on. I mean, you're saying it's not necessary to always clear the air in the relationship between the two people. That you can just change your behavior and go on from there.
Yeah, I absolutely am, because then once you understand yourself, and then you'll find is the kind of confession you want to do, is that going to be helpful or just hurtful? And mm-hmm. forgiveness is an inside job anyway. So I guess I'm just not a purist on how that form needs to take, as long as we have really become self-aware and are willing to have, when we are still coming from a wound or from a lack of integrity, it's really because we're not integrated with us inside. We're not really getting to the heart of what's going on with us inside. And so that creates a major problem. When we fix that, then we can say, how do I best serve this relationship? And then come from a place of integrity in that service. I think that we're fine with that. I believe, MB, we may have Christine back. Is that right?
Great.
Hi, Christine. Hi. Hi, Christine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm working from home today.
Oh, good. Tell me what's happening. What's your question, my dear?
Yeah, so I broke up with someone it's almost 6 weeks ago, and then I really was really in love with the guy. So, and I think I'm still recovering from what happened, and I'm finding it a little hard for me to move on. So I was wondering if you have some advice on how I can, like, move on, I don't know, faster. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that it's really hard. So the first thing I want to suggest, my dear, is that you have compassion for you and to be able to say this is a guy that obviously you really loved, but that it just you couldn't find a place where it could work. And for you to what we try to do often is get rid of the difficult feeling, get rid of the grief, and that actually sets up resistance. So the more you try to get rid of it, the deeper you go into it. Instead, if you could say, yeah, it hurts, and I'm okay anyway. I have some sorrow, and I'm okay anyway. If you can remember that where the brain holds grief, the more we repeat, this is proven in science, so it's not just a theory, the more we can repeat the positive statement, the intent of the current reality, that I'm okay anyway, I'm safe anyway, the more we repeat that, the more we actually are literally rewiring the circuitry in our brain, which connects to our nervous system, and all of that controls our emotional well-being. So if you can say, yeah, it's hard, it's only been 6 weeks, and I need to be patient with me, I need to be supportive of me, I need to put myself in environments where I'm not just going, you know, like with friends or with associations, I'm not just going a lot of boo-hoo, but you want to be in a group of people who are reminding you that you are okay, that you can and you are getting through this, that you are worthy and that you are lovely, and that this isn't the end of the book. You're in the middle of the chapter, in the middle of the book, and that whatever this relationship was, that it's a stepping stone to what can yet become in your life, not necessarily with that person. But I think you need to be a little more patient with yourself on the timeline, because in the timeline, you're not actually giving yourself breathing room and compassion. The only thing that I really don't want you to do, my dear, is collapse into the grief, because that's going to take you into depression. So you need to do kind of this very primitive rules about that, and that is move your body. So try to at least go for a walk. Try to stay active. Try to have dinner with your girlfriends, you know, try to make sure that you are not hibernating too much. The exercise actually shifts the chemistry in the body, so you don't have to run a marathon, but try to go for a good walk if you can. And also diet is really important, because sugar is a depressant. People don't know that. So when you're already fighting grief and transition and change, try to really, at least at this time, and sorry, on this day, try not to eat chocolate. Don't eat sugar. And of course, alcohol is a depressant. So be very careful about those very simple things. And then remind yourself that you are so worth your own effort, and nothing's going to stand between you and your ultimate good, and that you are loved, you are protected, and we're going to send you a book and support you in that truth, okay?
Well, I just, anyway, I went to some psychics, and then they told me that we are in a karmic relationship. So it's like they say that it's not over yet. So that's kind of giving me hope that we're going to get back. But part of me feels like I should move on, that he's not my soulmate. But my heart still, like, kind of still want him back. So I'm kind of, like, confused about what to do.
What I think you should do is surrender and let your spirit guide you. Don't get attached to who it's supposed to be. Get attached to what you want. When you get attached to who it's supposed to be, then you're going to try to control it instead of unfold what truly is in your best interest, my dear. So surrender. Okay?
Surrender.
Okay? I'm so glad you called. We are going to send you a book, and I'm going to hold you in my heart and my thoughts. I know you can come through this in great, great shape. Thanks for calling, Christine.
Okay.
Take good care, my dear.
Yes, thanks.
Thanks. So, MB, because today is Valentine's Day, you know my husband, John. He's like the most extraordinary guy. And when I listen to people
he's
like Christine.
Great Valentine.
He is a great Valentine. And I listen to people like Christine and Aggie, our wonderful callers today. And I know from my own life that in my life there was so much abuse and trauma. And the story is dark. I came close to death more than once. I was raped more times than I can possibly count. When I was 13, I had my father's baby, and I was abandoned in another state, and this baby died in my arms. There was just so much trauma.
Yeah.
So on paper, on paper. I should never have been able to convert that life and that experience into a place where I could know love and be loved. I'm strong about you have to change yourself first, because I had to walk that walk. And for most of what I say, it's based on life has given me the we'll do opportunity in quotes, the opportunity to walk that walk, but to convert this place of such darkness into the love and the light that I was ultimately given. In my book, Pursuit of Light, there's a chapter I wrote on John, and this is my ode to him. The last paragraph of that chapter I'd like to read. The love of John, his innate kindness, loyalty, and laughter, his integrity, unfailing caring, and his beauty. For the love of John, my life has been transformed. Not because he healed me. He did not. I did that. But through my life with him, I have had the opportunity to experience life and love the way it was always meant to be. For the love of John, my heart sings forever with gratitude. So,
that's so
John,
beautiful, Sandy.
Thank you so much for being my Valentine for the last 30 years, John. Let's go for the next 30. Mary Beth, thank you so, so much for being
my
riding shotgun with me today. I love you. To everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful week. Blessings to all of you. Next week, we're here. Please join us again. Our mics are always open. We're interested in getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Check out my website, sandybrewer.com, and of course, my book, Pursuit of Light. Drop us an email with any question you might have. Have a great week. Happy Valentine's Day, guys. And goodbye. And to Chris and Brian, you got us through this day. Thanks. Those are our producers and engineers. Thank you guys so, so much. We'll see you all next week. Take good care. You know the hurt you're right. You better put it all behind you, babe. 'Cause life goes on. You keep carrying that anger. It'll eat you up inside, baby. I've been trying. My thoughts seem to scatter, but I think it's about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Even if you don't love me, I've been trying to get down to the heart of the matter, because the flesh will get weak and the ashes will scatter. So I'm thinking about forgiveness.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
Can't get enough of your love, babe. Lord, some things I can't get used to.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat Show's the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back, because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
You're
listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.